ಹರಿ ಓಂ ತತ್ಸತ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಓಂ ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಶಂಕರಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರುಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಶ್ರುತಿಸ್ಮೃತಿಪುರಾಣಾನಾಂ ಆಲಯಂ ಕರುಣಾಲಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಗವತ್ಪಾದ ಶಂಕರಂ ಲೋಕಶಂಕರಂ ಶಂಕರಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಂ ಕೇಶವಂ ಬಾದರಾಯಣಂ ಸೂತ್ರಭಾಷ್ಯಕೃತೌ ವಂದೇ ಭಗವಂತೌ ಪುನಃ ಪುನಃ. ಓಂ ಈಶ್ವರೋ ಗುರುರಾತ್ಮೇತಿ ಮೂರ್ತಿಭೇದವಿಭಾಗಿನೇ ವ್ಯೋಮವದ್ವ್ಯಾಪ್ತದೇಹಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಸಹನಾವವತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಓಂ ಭದ್ರಂ ಕರ್ಣೇಭಶೃಣುಯಾಮದೇವಾಃ ಭದ್ರಂ ಪಶ್ಯೇಮಾಕ್ಷಭರ್ಯಜತ್ರಾಃ ಸ್ಥಿರೈರಂಗೈಸ್ತುಷ್ಟುಭಾಗಂಸಸ್ತನೂಭಿಃ ವ್ಯಶೇಮದೇವಹಿತಂಯದಾಯುಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನ ಇಂದ್ರೋ ವೃದ್ಧಶ್ರವಾಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನಃ ಪೂಷಾ ವಿಶ್ವವೇದಾಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನಸ್ತಾರ್ಕ್ಷ್ಯೋ ಅರಿಷ್ಟನೇಮಿಃ ಸ್ವಸ್ತಿ ನೋ ಬೃಹಸ್ಪತಿರ್ದಧಾತು. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾನಾಂ ಶುಪ್ರತಾನೈ ಸ್ಥಿರಚರ ನಿಕರ ವ್ಯಾಪಿಭಿರ್ವ್ಯಾಪ್ಯ ಲೋಕಾನ್ ಭೋಗಾನ್ ಸ್ಥವಿಷ್ಟಾನ್ ಪುನರಪಿ ಧಿಷಣೋದ್ಭಾಸಿತಾನ್ ಕಾಮಜನ್ಯಾನ್ ಸರ್ವಾನ್ ಏಷಾನ್ ಸ್ವಪಿತಿ ಮಧುರಭುಂ ಮಾಯಯಾ ಭೋಜಯನ್ನಃ ಸಂಖ್ಯಾತುರೀಯಂ ರಮಮೃತಮಜಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಯತ್ತನ್ನತೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯೋ ವಿಶ್ವಾತ್ಮಯಾನ್ ವ್ಯಾಗಾನ್ ಸ್ಥವಿಷ್ಟಾನ್ ಚಾಚಾನ್ಯಾನ್ ಸ್ವಮತಿ ವಿಭವಾನ್ ತಿಶಸ್ವೇನ ಸೂಕ್ಷ್ಮಾನ್ ಸರ್ವಾನ್ಯತಾನರಪಿನೈ ಸ್ವಾತ್ಮನಿಸ್ಥಾಪಯಿತ್ವಾ ಸರ್ವಾನ್ ವಿಶೇಷಾನ್ ನಿಗಣಃ ಪಾತ್ವಸೌ ನಸ್ತುರಿಯಃ ವಿಗತಗುಣಗಣಃ ಅಸೌ ತುರಿಯಃ ನಃ ಪಾತು. ಇನ್ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಮೇಡ್ ವೆರಿ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ ದಿ ಪರ್ಪಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಒನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಲಾತ ಶಾಂತಿ ಪ್ರಕರಣ. even though the subject matter of the teaching is over with 33 chapters, the fourth chapter is presented again to reinforce the teaching, without any doubts. It must be assimilated. Therefore, again, the teaching is given here. And specifically, Gaudapada Acharya wants to prove Advaita Darshanam, vision of the non-dual reality, the non-duality of the reality, is the right vision, the right knowledge. This is the knowledge, beneficial knowledge, Asparsha Yoga. And this is the knowledge in gaining which one becomes free from afflictions, one becomes free from conflicts, one becomes free from all emotional turmoil in terms of ragadveshas. And this knowledge is free from contradictions, controversies, Asparsha Yoga, the right vision. So Advaitam Eva Satyam, that has to be doubtless. Therefore, he is presenting the teaching here. And to say that, he shows how the people of other schools of thought, other systems of philosophy, fail in their arguments. So he wants, he's going to show the logical fallacies also, though not elaborately, at least briefly, that is enough for us to assimilate. So I've seen three karikas already, and where in the second karika itself, where Gaudapada Acharya presented his namaskarams to the jnanam. Salutations are offered unto the very knowledge itself, Asparsha Yoga. And that knowledge itself, salutation is made here. So by way of offering salutations to the very knowledge, there itself he makes a pratignya again, that Advaitam Satyam. And that is further the third, the fourth karikas, he presents the reasoning why it is Satyam. So the third and fourth karikas we saw. The third karika, he just introduces the people of four schools of thought and in two groups, that how the Sankhyas and yoga philosophers are of the view that the cause already exists, the cause is there, the product also already exists in the cause. There are Satkaryavadinaha. Nyaya Vaisheshikas are Asatkaryavadinaha, according to whom the product does not exist in the cause. So anyway, both groups of four schools are of the view the creation is real, there is a cause and there is an effect in the form of the universe. Whether the effect already existed and came, or it came suddenly, whatever it is, the views are wrong. And Shankaracharya says in his commentary, Gaudapacharya also, what he implies, in fact, there's no need for an Advaiti to refute them, to negate them. Advaiti can be a witness, seeing them quarreling and be quiet without joining any party. Okay? Advaiti will not join, does not need to join, cannot join Asatkaryavadi or Asatkaryavadi. And he allows them to refute each other. Or both are equally intelligent, bright people. They're bright enough to negate each other. to refute each other. So, they're not ordinary people. Therefore, when they negate, refute, they're very clear in what they state. Therefore, it's very easy. So, they make the job very easy that they khyapayanti. Advaita darshanam advaitam khyapayanti. What is advaitam? All this, there is only the truth to say that it is very important to say there is no cause, there is no effect. What only truth is there as this seemingly real, real world of plurality and world of duality. There's no cause, there's no effect, there's no creation. And that only truth which alone is there as everything is actually the truth of I. In claiming the truth as I, as the content of I, one can free oneself, see oneself being already free from everything, problems. Therefore, there's no cause, there's no effect, there's no creation means that is present at the ajativadaha. Stating ajativadaha is a vision of fact, the argument presented stating that there is no creation, there's no origination of anything. Ajativadaha. So this ajativadaha, non-creation, non-production, non-origination of anything, everything, is made very popular, is brought to light, revealed uniformly by these people who negate each other and refute each other. That's what we understood yesterday. Let's go back to the text today. Okay, towards the end, the third karika I read yesterday. Only the small karikas and very little bhashyam. Anyonyam jetum icchanti. That's a sentence, last sentence. Anyonyam jetum icchanti.
Page 464.
All these philosophers, I mean the third karika bhashyam, the last sentence I read out. Anyonyam jetum icchanti, because who will want to give up? They all want to be successful. They all want to defeat the other person. They all want to be victorious over the other person. Because that's why we understood already, very passionate about their own theories, their own views. Naturally, they have hatred of other's theory, other's view also. The being subject given to ragadveshas and causing afflictions also, and they want to be victorious over the other. They want to be win each other. Anyonyam jetum icchanti. Viruddham vivadantaha. Opposing each other, arguing against each other. They want to win each other because they are very proud of their knowledge. Prajna abhimaninaha. And who are they? Vaiseshikaha, nayayikaha. And abhutasya, avidyamanasya. Because for them, the whole world of duality has come into existence from a non-existent cause, non-existent product. It was, the effect was not there already. Karyam puram na asit. The effect was not there before, and then the effect has come newly. That is their argument. Okay. And of course, Sankhya Vaiseshika, Sankhya and Yoga philosophers, they say the effect was already there. So, the already existent product alone becomes later on, as originates as the creation. That is their view. Anyway, in the fourth karika, we are going to read today now. So, Shankaracharya introduces the bhashya, fourth karika. Taihi. Fourth karikas, over this one sentence, Ashankaracharya's sentence, which he introduces the fourth karika. Taihi yevam viruddha vadanena anyonya paksha pratishedam kurvadbehi. See, these people, Sankhya yoga philosophers and Nyaya Vaiseshika philosophers, all of them, what do they do? Anyonya paksha pratishedam kurvanti. They negate, refute each other's views. Negating, refuting each other's views. So Sankhya and Yoga philosopher negate their views, and they negate, Nyaya Vaiseshika negate Sankhya Yoga philosopher's views. These so anyonya paksha pratishedam kurvadbihi, kurvanti. Okay? So, one another negating, refuting each other's views, what do they do? I told you yesterday itself, Shankara is very happily, he says, kim khyatipidam bhavati, you know, when they negate each other, what happens? What is that which is made popular? What is that which is revealed? He says, he doesn't say what it is. Ajativadaha kyapitaha bhavati. This fact of non-creation, isn't it, becomes highlighted, becomes really revealed. So, having said that, let us read he introduces the fourth karika. Bhutanna jayate kinchit. Bhutanna jayate kinchit. It's a very simple kindergarten language, Sanskritam, okay? A very a profound fact, but very simple fact, simple sentence. Bhutam naiva jaya. Bhutanna jayate kinchit. Bhutanna jayate kinchit. Abhutannaiva jayate. Abhutannaiva jayate. Vivadantodvayahevam. Vivadantodvayahevam. Ajatim khyapayantite. Ajatim khyapayantite. We haven't done yesterday. This is chanted this, but we didn't do the verse. Okay. We have done the Bhashyam also? No. Okay. Anyway, very simple. Bhutam kinchit na jayate. Bhutam kinchit na jayate. Jayate means is born. Bhutam means already existent. Isn't it? An effect or product which is already existent does not originate, is not born. Means what? Actually, already existent cannot originate at all because it is already existent. Okay. Abhutam naiva jayate. A non-existent thing never originates, can never originate because it's non-existent. So, dvayaha, dualists. Dvayaha is equal to dvaitinaha. Different word he uses. Dvayaha, dvaitinaha, vivadantaha, arguing in this manner, evam, arguing in this manner, the non-existent thing cannot originate at all. An existent thing need not originate in this manner. Saying this in this manner, mutually, okay, arguing, refuting, negating each other's views. Ajatim te khyapayanti. They reveal, they popularize, no, what? Ajativada, non-origination, non-creation. Okay, this is the literal meaning of the Karika. So let us see the Bhashyam. So, Dvaitinaha themselves, okay, pave way for accepting, understanding the Ajativadaha, non-origination of the universe. There's no creation, non-creation. They have to accept. Non-creation, they have to accept. When there's no creation means they have to accept there's no cause also. When there's no cause also means whatever is here is only the truth. They have to gradually accept arivatti fact of non-duality being the reality. Okay. So the Bhashyam, again, very simple. Bhutam vidyamanam. Bhutam is equal to vidyamanam. Vidyamanam existent. Vidyamanam vastu na jayate.
465.
Bhutam is equal to vidyamanam. Vidyamanam vastu na jayate. Already existent thing does not originate, is not born. So kinchit means anything. Anything which is already existent does not originate, cannot originate, cannot come into existence. Why? Give the reason. Vidyamanatvat. Vidyamanatvat. As it is already existent, how can it come into existence? Vidyamanatvat. See, even as a simple kindergarten lesson, they have to give the proper reason, isn't it? So, vidyamanatvat. An already existent thing, due to its existence, being existent already, is not, cannot originate again, cannot come into existence again. Okay. Vidyamanatvat. Eva, how atmavat. Atma, he gives example also. Like the Atma. Like Atma is already existent. Can you come into existence? Can you become something? Can you? You're already there. You cannot, again, come into existence, isn't it? Just as the ever-existent Atma cannot come into existence newly, okay? Atma is one thing which is ever of the nature of existence. There's never a time Atma is not. Very important, okay? Atmavat, just as Atma, the absolute reality implied by the term Atma, obtaining as its truth of every individual, is ever existent. Why ever existent? Existence is the very swarupam. It can never come into existence. Therefore, already existent cannot come into existence due to its being already existent. Like the Atma, Atmavat, iti evam vadan, saying in this manner, asadvadi, sankhya paksham pratishedati. Saying this, asadvadi means what? Asadvadi means this asatkaryavadi, nyayavaiseshika philosophers, sankhya paksham patishedati. He negates the view of sankhya philosophers. Sankhya yoga philosophy had supplied. You had to include that, okay? Sankhya paksham patishedati means what? Pratishedati is a verb. Pratishedati negates. He negates, refutes the view of Sankhya philosopher. Satjanma. Satjanma means origination of the Sat. Sat means, what is Sat means what? Janma. Sat is equal to Janma. Sat pratishedati, Janma pratishedati. He negates the origination. See, very what is, see, negation is important. What is he negating? Origination of the already existent is negated by Nyayavaiseshika. So, origination is negated. That is very important. That's why Shankaracharya is waiting. Gaudapacharya is waiting to say, what are you negating? Origination. There's no origin. That is the very important. Sajjanma. He doesn't matter what is negated is not important. What is negated? Sat janma. Sat means janma. Janma, origination, birth, creation is negated. Okay. Tatha. Abhutam. Avidyamanam. Avidyamanatvat. Naiva jayate. In the same way, now Sankhya Yoga philosophers refute now Asatkaryavadi. How? Abhutam avidyamanam avidyamanatvat naiva jayate. The non-existent thing, because it is non-existent, cannot originate, cannot come into existence. example is given what? Shasha vishanavat. Shashaha rabbit, vishanaha horn. Shasha vishanavat. See, now you don't know rabbit and horn. You only know shasha vishana. Shasha vishanavat, like rabbit's horn. How rabbit's horn can never come into existence. It's a the same way, isn't it? Horns can be there, not rabbit's horn, isn't it? Sashavishanavat, like the rabbit's horn, the non-existent thing can never come to existence. Sashavishanavat, ityevam vadan, saying in this manner, Sankhyaha api asadvadi paksham asajjanma pratishedati. Saying this, Sankhya philosopher also negates, refutes the view of the asad, asatkaryavadi. So Sankhya negates Atkaryavadi, Atkaryavadi negates Sankhya. That is the thing. So asat janma pratishet, he negates the origination. He also negates the origination of the non-existent. Therefore, vivadantaha means viruddham vadantaha means speaking against each other, dismissing each other, refuting each other. Dvayaha, dvaitinaha, hi ete, these people, anyonyasya pakshau, sad asatoho janmani pratishedantaha. So the philosophers of these two groups mutually negating what? The origination of the already existent product, origination of the non-existent product, isn't it? Negating. Anyway, they negate the very idea of origination, creation. That is the important thing. Hastoho janmani patishedantaha. Finally, what do they do? Ajatim anutpattim arthat kyapayanti prakashayanti. So they bring to light what? The idea of non-origination, non-creation. Ajatim arthat khyapayanti te prakashayanti. So they bring to light what now? Non-creation. Therefore there is no creation. Okay. Vivadantaha viruddham vadantaha. Advayaha, advaitinaha. Therefore what now? This very thing, this is what an advaiti already says. Okay, the person or person in whose vision, what is there's only non-dual reality. There is no second thing. There is no second thing at all. What is only the manifestation of the only knowledge? That person, what does he say? There's no creation. There's no creation means there's no effect. There's no effect means there cannot be cause also. There's no karanam, there's no karyam. If at all Shastram talks about the karanam and karyam, okay, we have to understand only for the purpose of teaching. Isn't it? Therefore, karana karya prakriya, srishti prakriya, all these prakriyas are simply used only for teaching, only for us to understand the non-dual reality. The topic of creation is discussed only for helping us to arrive at the non-duality of the reality, not for establishing the creation. Therefore, definitely, there's no cause, there's no effect. This is the vision of the Advaiti. Anyway, so Shankaracharya says all these four philosophers finally pave way for arriving at the, they also become non-dualists. By negating each other, they become non-dualists, he says. Who are the non-dualists? Whoever says there's no creation is a non-dualist. No creation means there's no cause. That is next. If they say there's no creation means, they have to say there's no cause. There's no cause means, what is there is only Brahma. They have to arrive at it. Okay. Now we enter into the fifth karika. Now the proper reason hetu has been given, isn't it? In the third and the fourth karikas. What their views are, how they mutually negate each other. It's a simple lesson. Over. Now, what is the Nigamanam? The fifth karika is like presents the Nigamana Vakyam, the final conclusion. Now, Khyapyamanama Jatim Taihi, Pyamanama Jatim Taihi, Anumodama Hevayam. Anumodamahe vayam khyapyamanama jatim taihi khyapyamanama jatim taihi anumodamahe vayam anumodamahe vayam vivadamo na taisardham vivadamo na taisardham avivadam nibodhata avivadam nibodhata vivadamo na tai sardham sardham avivadam nibodhata avivadam nibodhata. So he says vayam anumodamahe. Vayam anumodamahe means what? We happily second their view. We happily accept their conclusion. Yes, there is no creation. That is what we say. So, anumodamahe, we happily accept, agree with their final thing. We approve that. What do we approve? Ajatim. We approve, we happily accept, we agree with that non-creation, non-origination, which is actually arrived at by them, khyapyamana, which is declared, which is revealed by them. Taihi khyapyamanam ajatim vayam anumodamahe. We accept, we agree with, we approve this, their understanding of non-creation, which is declared by those people, all people of all those four schools of thought. They only arrive at the conclusion. Now, does Advaiti has any problem with anybody? No problem. So Advaiti has no contradiction with any of the four schools of thought. Therefore, he says, Taihi na vivadamaha. We do not argue with any of them. Na vivadamaha. Taihi sardham na vivadamaha. We do not argue with any of them. Avivadam niveda vibodhata. This is the important lesson. What is that? Here, nibodhata means may you all understand. Gaudapada Acharya very happily. May you all understand this. All these students are addressed here towards. Okay? May you all understand. It's imperative verb. Nibodhata. Avivadam. So, may you all understand that this, okay, Ajativadaha is what now? Is absolutely free from any dispute. No dispute. Isn't it? Ajativadaha results in what? Asparsha Yoga. Isn't it? This Atmajnanam is free from any disputes. Advaita darshanam is free from any dispute. Asparsha yogaha, advaita darshanam, atmajnanam, brahma jnanam, all the synonyms. So it's free from any disputes. Why? Because advaita darshanam does not come under any of the schools of thought. Advaitam, vision of non-dual reality, is not a system of philosophy. It is not a matam. See, matam, a school of thought, is said to be matam in Sanskrit. Matam means what is viewed by a person. Matam itself means a participle, viewed. What is viewed by a given propounder and his followers, it becomes the view of that particular system of philosophy. Matam is Sanskritam word, is a view, a school of thought, a system of philosophy, a contention, isn't it? So this non-duality of the reality is not a matam, is not a system of philosophy. It's not a school of thought. Understand? Then what is it? It's a vision of the fact. Simple. If you say H2O, is what is H2O? Does it belong to any school of thought? No. It's a fact about a certain thing, isn't it? So fact is different from contention of view. Advaitam is a darshanam, the vision of the fact. It's not a contention of school of thought. Doesn't come under any of the systems of philosophy. Suppose if a system of philosophy, a school of thought, they must have their own theory. And if they all have a theories of creation, all the different schools of thought have their own theories of creation, many theories of creation. And each theory differs from other theory. Each system differs from other system. Therefore, there is a dispute. Whereas Advaitam is that which accommodates all theories as mithya. All theories are acceptable for Advaiti. There's no contradiction. Okay, from your, you are also correct from your standpoint, you are correct from your standpoint, but all are mithya. All are mithya. A view is a mithya. Contention is a mithya. What is satyam then? That the source of all knowledge alone is Satyam. Isn't it? So what is the truth that has to be arrived at? Isn't it? Therefore, avivadam nibodhata, may you understand the non-dual reality, advaita darshanam, vision of the non-duality of the reality, the self-knowledge is free from any dispute. We'll understand that later on. Taihi evam khyapyamanam ajatim evam astu iti anumodamahe. Na kevalam, not only, he says, Shankaracharya says in his commentary, not only we do accept, approve happily the non-creation, non-origination, taihi na vivadamaha, we also don't argue with them. We have no argument with them. Paksha pratipaksha grahanena. So by joining one group of people, we join the people of one group, okay, we do not argue with any group. Yatha te anyonyam, just as they quarrel with each other, they disagree with each other, they argue with each other, we do not argue with any group of people. We have no argument with anybody because we don't disagree with it. We agree, we accept them. Anumodamahe. Ataha tam vivadam vivadarahitam paramartha darshanam. He says what? Again, he says what? Paramartha darshanam vivadarahitam. This vision of the absolute reality, very important here. Paramartha darshanam vivadarahitam. Vision of the absolute reality is free from any disputes. Disputeless vision. Devoid of any dispute. Asmabhihi anujnatam. This vision of the absolute reality is free from disputes. This has been anujnatam. This is what is understood by us. This is what is revealed by us. Anujnatam asmabhihi nibodhata he sishyaha. O disciples, may you all understand this paramartha darshanam asmabhihi anujnatam is avivadaha. Avivadam. It is vivadarahitam. Why we should all understand the truth here? In understanding the truth, you become quiet. When you become quiet, you will not disturb the world. The world is always, Pujya Swami used to say this very beautifully. People work for world peace. What do you want to work for world peace? World is okay. Jagat is okay, no problem. Your intrusion is the problem. The world is peaceful. If you are peaceful, you can see the world being peaceful. If you are not peaceful, and your world will be, okay, a place of agitation. We thought we want to make the world peaceful. The peace talks, Swamiji always used to say this, okay? The peace talks, the peace business. First of all, you take care of yourself. You are sinking yourself and you want to help, give your hand to other person. You discover peace yourself, first of all, isn't it? If one has to see absolute peace in seeing the fact of reality being one, secondless and non-dual, and where one has to see oneself disappearing that reality, that's what real peace is there. That is why he says, hey Sishyaha Nibodhata, Shankaracharya says, oh disciples, may you all understand this paramartha darshanam asmabhihi anujnatam vivadarahitam. This absolute vision of absolute reality, which is really now taught by, which is revealed which is brought to light as the vision of the Shastram. That vision is what? Vivadarahitam. Free from all conflicts and contradictions, disputes. Okay. Finished. We go quickly, we're going. Sixth Karika. Now, before I go there, sixth, seventh, and eighth, these three Karikas are physically taken from the Advaita Prakaranam. Same Karikas with the one small change. You know, in Karika 20, 21, and 22, three Karikas of Advaita Prakaranam are physically brought back here, presented here. With one small change. The meaning is the same. What the change there? If you see the words, repeat the verse here. Ajatasyaiva dharmasya jati michanti vadinaha ajato hyamruto dharmaha martyatam kathameshyati. In the words, you can see the word dharmasya, isn't it? The word dharmasya, in the place of dharmasya, before bhavasya was there. Bhavaha dharmaha. Two word difference. Same verse. Sixth Karika. Here, the sixth Karika of Alata Shanti Prakaranam is literally the 20th Karika of the Advaita Prakaranam. What is the difference? In the place of bhavaha, you have the word dharmaha. Dharmaha, bhavaha mean the same. There, the word dharmaha, there the word the bhavaha was used. So, bhavaha here means reality. Dharmaha also means the reality, the truth. The word dharmaha in this verse means the truth, the reality. There the word bhavaha means the truth, the reality. Same meaning. Apart from this change in the word, one word dharmaha, in the place of bhavaha, no change. Literally the verse has been brought here. In the same way, we are going to see the 7th verse, the 21st verse, 8th verse is the 22nd verse. Okay. 20th, 21st, 22nd verse of Advaita Prakaranam are physically brought here. Okay. As the 6th, 7th, 8th Karikas. Only difference is the usage of the word. In the place of bhavaha, we have the word dharmaha. And bhavaha, dharmaha, both words mean here what? The reality, the truth. That's all. Now, why Gaudapada Acharya physically brings those verses? Literally, he brings the same verses. See, what has been taught once, clarified once, if it is repeated, it is looked upon as an error of repetition known as Punarukti Doshaha. Punarukti Doshaha. Punaha Uktihi means saying it again is Punaruktihi. Punarukti Doshaha, an entropy, an error of repetition. Because it is considered what is said once, if it again said, a person has to sit and listen to the same teaching. Time is wasted, energy is wasted, my God. No, it is not a waste of time. So Shankaracharya wants why he does it. Because earlier it was simply only mentioned that how, okay, but here he wants to bring it again. There he established the non-duality being the reality. Okay, non-dual reality, the vision of non-duality being the real vision, non-duality being the reality he established in those verses. But now he repeats it after pointing out, okay, the defects, after talking about the views of other schools of thought. Again, the context. The context, however, he repeats the same teaching in the context of refuting, negating others' views. It's for reinforcement. There is no creation at all, he said already. But again, now there is no creation at all, only he does not say. Other schools of people, other schools of thought, refuting each other, they have arrived at the conclusion there is no creation. Therefore, he wants to repeat this. Okay. This is one thing. Now, before we go there, let me make it very clear. What do these systems of all the philosophers, the very word adjective philosopher itself says, the person who wants to know the truth. Okay? All of them are probing into, they want to arrive at the truth of everything. And when they try to arrive at the truth of everything, they want to arrive at the cause of everything. What is the first thing? What is the first thing from which everything has come into existence? And the first thing must be what? Uncaused. See, this has come from where? From this. This come from where? From this. If you go, when they analyze, they try to arrive at the truth of everything. And the truth must be what? The absolute cause. What is the absolute cause, ultimate cause? Ultimate cause must be uncaused cause. Causeless cause. Uncaused, causeless, okay, must be the absolute cause, ultimate cause. That must be what now? The truth of everything. Okay, they want to know the truth. So all of them make efforts. Great thinkers. Sankhyaha, Vaiseshikaha, Nayayaka, they're not ordinary people. But they struggle. Why? They don't take Shastram as the Pramanam. They only crush their own intellect. They want to arrive at the truth crushing their own intellect. And only reasoning, logic. Okay, like modern scientists. People cannot accept. We want proof for everything. We want, you know, reasoning for everything. That's what they argue. That's why they struggled. So they're not ordinary people. Also, do namaskaram to Veda Shastram. But then what do they do finally? Uncaused. The truth of everything must be the first. What is that thing first? What would have been? From where? That's how Big Bang, we talk about all these theories, okay? What would have been the first? Uncaused, causeless, absolute, ultimate cause. And here, we talk about the relative cause also. Relative cause or intermediary cause. Isn't it? In fact, we see everything in this universe is what now? Within the cause-effect system only. Everything is a cause from the standpoint of one thing. The standpoint of something else, it becomes an effect also. Every cause is an effect from the standpoint of its own cause. There's no cause which is not an effect. Okay, whatever is looked upon as a cause of something becomes an effect from the standpoint of something else. If I say wood is the cause from the standpoint of this table, and the standpoint of the tree, wood becomes an effect. The standpoint of seed, tree becomes the effect. any cause is a cause from the standpoint of its effect, becomes an effect from the standpoint of its own cause. Therefore, every cause happens to be an effect of some other cause. Every cause is a relative cause. Relative cause. We can say intermediary cause. Intermediary cause. And we look at this whole jagat here, the entire universe, objective universe, including one's body, mind, sense complex. What is this? We can say elements are the cause. Elements. Panchabhautikaha prapanchaha. Panchabhautikaha prapanchaha. The universe is an elemental, five elemental model, means elements are the intermediary cause. We say that. So what? Again, you have to go for some other cause. So they try to search for the cause and they all arrive at some conclusion. So Sankhya philosopher, no, will say, even yoga philosopher will say, Pradhanam Prakritihi is the ultimate cause. Ultimate cause is Pradhanam Prakritihi. And Sankhya, Nyaya Vaisheshika will say what? Paramanuhu is the ultimate cause. They talk about this cause. So Satkaranavadinaha. Further, is a cause also is Satkaranam. Karanam is Sat. There is a cause, ultimate cause. But what is the ultimate cause? They differ. In stating what is the cause, they differ. How do they arrive at it? Their own research, their own analysis, working hard night and day, they come to this arrive, you know. They don't sleep, they're not ordinary people with the long beards and then things, no time to shave also. Working very hard, all the time, working. They're all great thinkers, come to arrive at the conclusion. That's why we bow to them. Kapila Munihi, Kanada Munihi, Muni, Rishi, we call them, we bow to them because they all worked very hard. Relatively, they're right. Advaiti never says, no, you are wrong. Nobody is wrong. Everybody is right from your own standpoint. Within the realm, but the problem is, all their researches, analysis is within the realm of ignorance. Within the realm of the material world only. That is why we have atomic theory has come first. In India, we already had it. Isn't it? So all theories, we can say, much subtler facts they discovered within the realm of physics, I can say. All the discoveries are within the realm of matter, material world. That's why we revere them as rishis. But they are not the ultimate causes. What they call as ultimate cause is not an ultimate cause. There's certain facts are there. And what they've arrived at is not some totally rejectable. Acceptable only. Within the realm of the material world, the research has not gone wasted. It proves, it does reveal some relative fact within the realm of the material world. Isn't it? There's so many subtle facts within the realm of the material world, within the realm of ignorance. We don't deny them. Now still so much research is going on. And so many discoveries are come out. And we make use of we do benefit from the discoveries of such subtle facts within the realm of the material world. That's how technology develops, because of the discoveries. They're all not dejecting them. But they're all within the realm of the material world. Like that, these also are giants. Rishis, Kanadaha, Kapilaha, all of them, Patanjali, not ordinary people, we bow to them. With tremendous reverence, we keep them a very high pedestal. But their discoveries are within the realm of matter. In the realm of the objective universe. They search for the truth here. Why? They relied only on reasoning, not on the Shastram. It is the Vedanta Shastram which helps them see beyond time and space. They discover within the realm of time and space. What is beyond time and space, you must see. Their research was only within the realm of things, within the realm of time and space. Therefore, whatever they have arrived at, from their own standpoints, they are great accomplishers, no doubt. But that is not the ultimate cause. It is not the absolute cause. There are only relative causes, relative effects, which constitute this world. Relative cause is mithya. Relative effect also is mithya. Anything relative is mithya. Anything relative is mithya. So here, Vedanta Shastram, okay, when a Sankhya philosopher says, okay, Pradhanam, Prakriti is the Mola Karanam, Mola Karanam, absolute cause. When Nyaya Vaisheshika says, Paramanu is the absolute cause. Oh, in Vedanta Shastram also, it is said Brahman is the ultimate cause. Very careful. Okay, in Vedanta Shastram, when Brahman is present as the Mola Karanam, really speaking, it's only for the purpose of teaching. Then, Vedanta Shastram also, you know, what now? Becomes one of the schools of thought. For him, this is the Mola Karanam, this is the ultimate cause. For other school of thought, this is the ultimate cause. But if Brahman is ultimate cause, means what? Vedanta also should not be considered as one of the schools of thought. No. Understand? So there we say, from the standpoint of the entirety of the objective universe, including one's ahankara, including one's I sense, mind, isn't it? Body, mind, sense complex. The absolute cause, the ultimate cause, okay, the reality, absolute reality, Brahman is looked upon as absolute cause from the standpoint of the universe, because the existence of the reality, existence of the universe is dependent on the existence of the reality, Brahma. Okay. Existence of the universe is material existence of the material inert objective universe is dependent on the existence of this abstract reality, Brahma. It has no independent existence. It can never exist at all independently without Brahma. Therefore, from the standpoint of the material universe, objective universe, which is dependent on Brahman for its existence. From the universe, Brahman is looked upon as the absolute cause of the universe. That's all. Really speaking, from the standpoint of reality, Brahma, Brahman is not cause. Brahman is not the cause. Understand? It's one point. Again, and Brahman is presented as the cause, universe is presented as the effect, is only an adhyaropaha, is only superimposition, okay, the causal status is attributed to Brahma, effect that is attributed to the universe only as a method of, as a teaching. Really speaking, Shastram says, that's all. But does not say whether Brahman is really the cause. Simply says, from Brahman, universe has come into existence. This is only a methodology, teaching methodology. Okay, but Gaudapadacharya says, no. There is no such a thing called absolute cause at all. Ultimate cause is not there. Absolute cause is not there. Is it clear? Very important, very, very important lesson. Three verses, Shankaracharya does not write much Bhashyam here, but very important lesson. Why? According to Advaita Darshanam, there is no absolute cause at all. There's no cause. There's no ultimate cause is not there. If we say there is an absolute cause, what will be the problem? What will be the consequence? We have to remember this. If we say there is a cause, okay, that cause must undergo change to be born into this universe or to become anything. A cause must undergo a change to be an effect. It is a proving. This is what a very important lesson. On what basis does Gaudapadacharya say? Very important. Even Upanishad says, tasmadva etasmad brahmanaha akasha sambhutaha. Upanishad presents Brahman as the cause. And he says, no, there is no cause. Which means, Upanishad mantra must be analyzed thoroughly. We have to say, there is no absolute cause. See, Advaitam cannot be established unless you say there's no creation. To say that, you must say there's no cause. If you talk about the cause to be in the form of effect must undergo change. And Shastram always what? Ajam Brahma, Ajaha Atma, Ajam Brahma, Ajaha Atma is what Shastram says. Unborn. Reality is unborn. Birthless means it is changeless. Because birth is a change. Also, it's also what now? Nirvikaram. It is the same Shastram says what? Reality is changeless, not subject to any modification. Unmodifiable, changeless. Changelessness is the swarupam of the Atma. Therefore, origination is not possible. Birth is not possible. Therefore, understand now, it can undergo any change. And why sarvagatatvam? Why it is changelessness, the nature of the Atma? Because it is all pervasive. It is all pervasive because it is timeless. Shastra, nityaha, 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 shastra, all are blowing, isn't it? So, nityaha means timeless. So, reality, which is absolute reality, which is ever of the timelessness, must be all of nature of all pervasiveness. All being all pervasive, it must be changeless. Being changeless, it cannot have any origination. Can undergo any change, isn't it? Therefore, if reality implied the term Brahman is never a cause because it is a nature of changelessness. Remember all the words again? I am repeating. I make the defect, okay? I make the mistake of repeating. Sukshmatamatvate, because of its utmost subtleness, is absolutely all pervasive. Because of its all pervasiveness, it is changeless. Because of changelessness, It is free from birth, death, etc. Therefore what? It cannot it cannot be a cause. Because Brahma is not a cause. Why? Because the universe is not a karyam. The universe is not an effect. And that is what he established. To say Brahman is not the cause, he proved, he established how there is no creation. To say there's no creation, he said there's no such thing called subject, therefore no such thing called object. He, Gaudapacharya's strength is here in proving, in establishing jnatru jnana jneya bheda. There is no knower other than consciousness. There is no knowledge other than consciousness. There is no jnayam, the known, other than consciousness. Isn't it? He shows the non-separateness, avyatirekatvam. Isn't it? He shows this non-separateness of the reality from the knower, the subject of knowledge. That's how he proves. There's no, knower is non-separate. The very first verse, every jiva. No, it's a knower here. That is a reality of reality. All pervasive reality obtaining in every individual is recognized as how? The knower. Self-identity is how? Because of the knower, isn't it? I am means what? You know your existence. Therefore, as the knower only. And who is that knower? That's how he shows. Isn't it? Every jiva is, every space like jiva is space like consciousness. Means what? Jiva and consciousness. Each one and the same. Jiva is nothing but consciousness only. Just the name, that's all. So, there's no knower. When the knower is not there, how can there be known? What about the known? The known also is non-separate from consciousness. The knower consciousness. Therefore, the knowledge also is not non-separate from knower consciousness. Just by showing how this one and the only abstract reality consciousness is pervasive of knower knowledge. This is what is all pervasiveness. We have to understand. Isn't it? All pervasiveness, engulfing. Showing the non-separateness, he says there's no subject-object division. There's object-object knowledge division. Triputi Bheda is not there. Duality is not there. Therefore, there's no, nothing is separate from reality. Therefore, there's no creation. By establishing there's no creation, he establishes there is no cause. He says, that is the amazing teaching of this Advaita Prakarana we understood, and he repeats that here in this context. So Shankaracharya justifies why he physically brought those verses into the context here. See, non-create, ajativada is declared by other schools of thought. Isn't it? So this is, this knowledge of the reality, the source, it is the only truth of everything. The only truth of everything is distinct from everything. Okay? That's why we can say, any all schools of thought are all what? Manifestations of the only knowledge. And the source of all manifestations is pure consciousness. That is why it is free from disputes and controversies. This is a very important lesson. But any number of manifestations, they are relatively right, but they are mithya. That is why Kanadaha is mithya, Kapilaha is mithya, Sankhya's view is mithya, all views are mithya. All views are relatively right from their standpoint. They're all manifestations of knowledge. They're all Ishvara, but mithya. What is satyam then? That which does not come and go. That which is always there. That which cannot undergo any change. That is source of any manifestation of any knowledge is satyam. That satyam is Atma Brahma, and you are that Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi Tattvamasi. Isn't it? Shastram teaches. It is, that's why it's non-refutable. Non-contradictable. It's a non-refutable vision of the fact. Very important. Advaita Darshanam is not a matam, not a system of philosophy, not a school of thought. It's a vision of the fact. Vision of the truth, the source of all knowledge. And here, Gaudapada Acharya, what he says in these verses, he uses one trick, you know. It takes this weapon, what is it? Swarupam. Swarupam means intrinsic nature. What is intrinsic nature? Swarupam is that which does not undergo any change at all. That does not undergo any change, that is Swarupam. And here, changelessness is the Swarupam of the reality. Therefore he says, there is no creation. He is going to establish that also. We're going to see later on. And then, to say something is a cause, again, we need a proper pramanam, evidence. There's no evidence for establishing the absolute cause. The only evidence for the existence of everything is consciousness, Atma. You are the ultimate evidence for the existence of everything. Okay? You are not evident to anything. You are self-evident. There's no evidence for your existence. You are the only evident. You are the only evidence. Isn't it? Therefore, where is the pramanam to this is the ultimate cause. No pramanam available. Pratyaksha pramanam is not. Pratyaksha pramanam cannot establish. Pratyaksha pramanam is not there. Direct perception is not there to say this is the absolute cause. When the pratyaksha itself is not there, no other pramanam can work. Why? Any pramanam, including inference. Now, I infer this must be the cause. You cannot say. Inference is dependent on perception. You need adequate data to infer. Okay? The data you must cut it from perception. Anything which is not available for perception cannot be further inferred also. Therefore, there is no pramanam to establish the absolute cause. This main thing. And cause must undergo change to become an effect. And here, repeatedly Shastram says, this is Ajam Brahma, Ajaha Atma. Therefore, changelessness being the swarupa of the Atma, it cannot undergo any change. It cannot be the cause. He doesn't even say that. He proves how duality is mithya. divisions are mithya, differences are mithya. There's no, absolutely there's no difference. Absolutely there's no division. Absolutely there's no duality. There's only satyam. Differences, divisions, duality, plurality, in spite of being experienced, they are not denied, but only mithya. See, in Advaita Darshanam, vision of non-dual reality, in the vision of non-dual reality, duality is not denied. Differences are not denied. Differences are not, okay, divisions are not denied. They are accepted, but they are only relatively real. That's why all these divisions are, differences of views are acceptable as mithya. I accept you means what? I'm friend of both people. Isn't it? As a relative reality, any view of any researcher can be accepted from his standpoint, from with his given, you know, reasoning. There's no problem. Only if he says absolutely real, there's a problem. He can't establish it. So, if we try to establish the absolute cause, we will end up with the problem of infinite regression. That is why absolutely there is no cause, there is no creation, there are no divisions, differences. Okay? This is what? This is the difference between a system of philosophy and a vision of the fact. Unfortunately, when people discuss the darshanani, they'll say Advaita Darshanam. Advaita Darshanam also includes one of the darshanani. In fact, they're all views, systems of philosophy. This is vision. This is different. It's not like other school of thought. It is not in the realm of the objective universe. Advaita Darshanam, the vision of the reality is distinct because the reality is distinct from the everything which is within the realm of ignorance, realm of the objective world, beyond time and space. Okay. With this, let us enter into the karika now. Quickly read 6, 7, 8 karikas. Okay. Because Shankara Gurupada does not write any commentary because they have been already explained. Sixth karika. Ajatasyaiva dharmasya. Ajatasyaiva dharmasya. Jati michanti vadinaha. Jati michanti vadinaha. Ajatasyaiva dharmasya.
Ajatasyaiva dharmasya.
Jati michanti vadinaha.
Jati michanti vadinaha.
Ajato hyamruto dharmaha.
Ajato
hyamruto dharmaha. Martyatam kathameshyati.
Martyatam kathameshyati.
So, he says, dharmaha ajataha. Dharmaha ajataha means what? The reality is unborn. The absolute reality, the ultimate truth, obtaining as the essence of every individual, implied by the term Atma or Brahman, is unborn. But Vadinaha, Vadinaha means what? The philosophers of different schools of thought, they postulate creation, birth, the origination of that reality. trying to look for another reality is what? Trying to understand the truth of the truth. Truth can be what, isn't it? Where has the reality come from? It is like trying to understand, isn't it? Therefore, you can never arrive at it. That's why Vadinaha Jati Michanti. And what he says, Ajataha Amrutaha Dharmaha. So reality is unborn. Not only is unborn, it is immortal. Immortal, not subject to any, immortal means what? Not subject to any subtle or gross changes. So subtle changes, the gross changes, birth and death are gross changes. Metamorphosis, isn't it? Growth, they're all subtle changes. We talk about six modifications. Remember six modifications? Asti, Jayate, Vardate, Vipanamate, Apakshite, Nashyati. There, Jayate, Mriyate, Vinash, Nashyati are gross changes. Birth and death are gross changes. In between the growth, changes happen in the body, that is subtle changes. We don't really make note of those changes. So, Amrutaha means absolutely free from gross and subtle changes, immortal. So, Ajataha Amrutaha Dharmaha Katam Martyata Meshiti. How is it possible to say that unborn immortal reality has attained mortality? In what? Has undergone a change. Unborn immortal reality has undergone a change. How can you say that? Taking the reality to be the cause of the universe, to be a cause, means taking it to be a mortal. Because taking it to be a subject to change, isn't it? So, here, in the first sentence, Vadinaha, specifically he talks about Sankhya philosophers, Ajatasya dharmasya eva jati michyanti. They talk of the birth of the unborn reality. Ajataha amrutaha dharmaha hi. In our reality is unborn and immortal. Tasya vastunaha martyatam katham eshyati. So what he says is, how can unborn immortal reality become subject to any change or mortality? That is the meaning of the verse, literal meaning, that's all. So Shankaracharya says, he writes only one sentence, Bhashyam, commentary. What's the Bhashyam here? Sad asadvadinaha. Sad asadvadinaha sarve api. Not only sadkaryavadi, asadkaryavadi, all people who all dualists, who in whose understanding creation is real, duality is real, okay, all of them make the same mistake. Therefore, Purastat Krita Bhashya Shlokaha. He says, Gaudapadacharya has repeated the verse, but he would not repeat the Bhashyam. Krita Bhashya Shloka means a verse for which commentary has already been given. Therefore, he says, Krita Bhashya Shlokaha. A verse of having the verse for which commentary has already been made, done. Okay. Now, Karika number 7. Na bhavatyamrutam martyam. Na bhavatyamrutam martyam. Na bhavatyamrutam martyam. this is the boldest statement, okay? Nabhavatyamrutam martyam. Namartyamamrutam tatha. Namartyamamrutam tatha. Prakriteranyatha bhavaha. Prakriteranyatha bhavaha. Nakathanchit bhavishyati. Nakathanchit bhavishyati. He says, amrutam martyam nabhavati. Amrutam martyam nabhavati. The immortal cannot, does not become mortal. An immortal does not become martyam. Amrutam martyam nabhavati. Immortal does not become a mortal. Na martyam amrutam tata. And that which is subject to change cannot be changeless. Isn't it? A mortal cannot become... See, mortal means being subject to change. That's all. So changeless cannot become that which is subject to mortal. That subject to change cannot become changeless. Immortal cannot become mortal. Mortal cannot become immortal. Why? Because what he says, an unborn thing cannot become the cause. Unborn, that which does not have a beginning, see, that which does not have a beginning, that which has no cause, cannot become the cause. No way. That which has no cause cannot be the cause, because to be a cause, it has to undergo change. Understand? So, the beginningless unborn cannot be a cause. If it is a cause, it undergoes change. If it undergoes a change, then it becomes an effect of something else. It must have a cause also. Very, very subtle teaching. Understand now? Now, unborn cannot be the cause. To be a cause, it must undergo a change to become an effect. Being a cause means becoming an effect. Being a cause means becoming an effect. Becoming an effect means being subject to change. Therefore, the uncaused, causeless cause cannot be. An unborn thing cannot have the status of being a cause. It cannot be a cause. Why? It cannot be, can't undergo any change. Okay. Prakrutehe anyatha bhavaha na kathanchit bhavishyati. Now he, what now? Prakrutihi, please make a note, be very careful. The word prakrutihi does not mean matter here. The word prakrutihi sometimes used in the sense of matter. Here he says prakritihi, here means swarupam, the nature. Prakritihi also means nature. Prakritihi here means swarupam, intrinsic nature. Anyatha bhavaha means the nature undergoing a change, becoming different from what it is also. Never happens. Nakathanchit bhavishyati. Anyatha bhavaha prakrutehe nakathanchit bhavishyati. By no means the nature ever becomes different from what it is. The nature does not become different from what it is. By no means. Nakathanchit prakrutehe anyatha bhavaha. Anyatha bhavaha means what? a change. A change doesn't happen of the nature. The nature is, swarupam is that which does not undergo any change at all. This is the very important supportive fact for Advaita, establishing Advaita. In fact, even within the realm of material worlds, we talk about the nature. You're going to see later on, he's going to beautifully explain the nature. We'll see that. Always these examples given in the Shastra. Agni Ushnavat, Savitru Prakashavat, isn't it? Illumining nature. Illumining is the swarupam of the sun, which doesn't change. So being hot is the nature of this fire, that doesn't change. Even within this, we understand how swarupam is changeless. What can we talk of the nature of the absolute reality? Being conscious, being aware, knowing is the swarupam of this abstract, formless reality. And we can understand there's nothing subtler than that reality also. Isn't it? Therefore, changelessness is the very swarupam. Ever unchanging. The changelessness being swarupam of the abstract, formless consciousness, it can never become the cause. Being a cause means it will undergo a change. Therefore, that's what he establishes in the seventh karika, then eighth karika. Swabhave namruto yasya. Swabhave namruto yasya. Dharmo gachati martyatam. Dharmo gachati martyatam. Kritake namrutastasya. Katham tasyati nischalaham. Swabhave namruto yasya. Dharmo gachati martyatam. Kritake namrutastasya. Katham sthasyati nischalaha. He says, swabhavena amrutaha yasya dharma yasya. See, this dharma, swabhavena amrutaha, intrinsically, by its very nature, it is immortal, changeless. So, dharma means reality here. The ultimate truth, the absolute reality, is by its very nature, immortal, changeless. Therefore, and if that intrinsic nature undergoes a change, martyatam gachati, then what happens? Kritakena amrutaha. And if at all something attained by knowing the truth, by knowing the truth subject to change, and the moksha attained also will be what? It cannot be permanent. Katam nischalaha stasyati. So, it's a suppositional, okay? It's called abhyupetava. I said, so the absolutely immortal reality, intrinsically, okay, by its very nature, that which is immortal, is subject to mortality. Imagine. For whom? Not for Advaiti. Okay, for all these so-called philosophers who believe there is who accept the universe is a modification, creation, which means they believe that the cosmos has undergone a change. Therefore, if this reality is by nature immortal, changeless, the changeless reality, immortal reality, undergoes a change, becomes subject to change, as a philosopher thinks, then that reality, again what happens, what do they say, actually, all these jivas, this is what they say, originally jivas are all immortal realities, and then what happened, they became jivas, and having become jivas, now they are mortals. The immortal undergone a change to become the jivas, and the jivas now are mortals. Now they have to practice some disciplines. All these disciplines are main place, no? Living life, karma yoga, practicing meditation, all sorts of things. And living a disciplined life, again they have to attain that immortality. Which means immortality is something to be attained, not to be discovered for them. As a result of karma, a result of disciplines. Got it? I explained this very clearly before when I explained these three verses already. This is what I explained this. Remember when I explained the same verse. So the immortal reality becomes the mortal jivas, and being born as mortal jivas, and by living and following certain disciplines, again they have to attain that immortality. It means, and the question is, this immortality which is attained as a result of disciplines, practicing disciplines, a karma phalam, how can that immortality will remain permanently? And actually, we are not interested in impermanent changing immortality. Interesting, changing impermanent moksha, isn't it? We are interested in permanent moksha. If at all, they attain. It's not possible. So moksha is permanent, which is to be discovered. That's what we understand. Mokshaha, the freedom, immortality attained as the result of practicing disciplines, it will be subject to change. Isn't it? That's not possible at all. It is not possible at all to attain immortality as a result of this practicing disciplines. Immortality is not something to be attained, something to be discovered as on sonsurupam. If at all, as the philosophers say, it is attained also, it will not be permanent. It will not be nischalaha. It will not be permanent. It will be subject to change. And such moksha is not desirable. Anirmoksha prasangaha will be there. I mean, it's all showing, pointing out the important. See, we don't need to really go into the analysis of everything. The finally what they say, there itself, see the defects and reject them with due respect. You see, sometimes these karikas do not really convey much. The words are different, and they have in their own mind. That's why we need Shankar Bhagavatpada to understand what exactly is in the heart of Gaudapadacharya. Isn't it? He already explains, but he doesn't want to explain again. So he leaves it. We have to make out. from this. Go back and read meanings of those karikas. Okay. So Bhashyam, he says here, together, for the previous and seventh and eighth karikas, he gives Bhashyam together. Uktarthanam shlokanam iha upanyasaha paravari pakshanam anyonya virodha khyapita anutpattim anumodana pradarshanartha. What he says,
4, 6, 7.
What Shankaracharya says, come on, this repetition of, one second, he says, repetition of three verses literally from, okay, the third chapter, Advaita Prakaranam, is specifically for showing our acceptance, okay, acceptance of the Ajativada, Ajatihi, non-creation. Anyonya Virodha. See, their mutual contradiction of the philosophers, mutual contradiction, mutual refutation, isn't it? Mutual negation of the views of philosophers, now brought to light, declared the non-creation, non-origination of the universe, okay, which is acceptable for us. Only for showing that these words are repeated, he says. Okay. Uktarthanam shlokanam iha upanyasaha. Here presentation, representation of the same verses is specifically for showing our acceptance of the non-creation, which is brought to light, which is declared by the mutual contradiction, negation and refutation of the views of the philosophers. They have done a great help. Philosophers have done the great job, great help. Got it? So without interfering, without saying, come on, there's no, that's not a cause, we don't need to say anything, just be there, remain quiet, understand how, you know, what reality is. You use Shastra Pramanam. Shastram tells this is what the Satyam is. Using Shastra Pramanam, with the help of the Shastra Pramanam, using the relevant reasoning, understand the truth. Okay? Then you remain quiet and see what these people are doing. And they also, their quarreling, their refutation, their arguments, again, what? Strengthen what you understood from the Shastram. So you are only a witness, you are not involved. So you are safe. You are free from contradiction. Okay, now we have to go to the ninth karika. In this ninth karika, Gaudapada Acharya makes special effort to make us understand how the intrinsic nature is not subject to change at all. See, it's all sthana nikkananam, isn't it? It is all again assimilating, ascertaining. You must be convinced after Mandukya Karika class, you must be firm, no doubt should come that as intrinsic nature is that which does not undergo change at all. The doubt should not be there. Because philosophers are there, no, they say immortal, unborn, and they say undergoes changes, become jivas, all this they say. So they may doubt, should not be there. So he makes it very clear. We'll see very beautifully he's going to talk about three types of nature. Unchanging nature is of three types. He's going to show us that. Yes, smart. ಲೌಕಿಕೀ ಅಪಿ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ನ ವಿಪರ್ಯೇತಿ. ಸಿ ಏತಿ ಪರಿ ಪ್ರಿಫಿಕ್ಸ್, ಅಗೇನ್ ವಿ ಪ್ರಿಫಿಕ್ಸ್, ವಿ ಪರಿ ಏತಿ ವಿಪರ್ಯೇತಿ. ವಿಪರ್ಯೇತಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಚೇಂಜಸ್. ನ ವಿಪರ್ಯೇತಿ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ನ ವಿಪರ್ಯೇತಿ, ಲೌಕಿಕೀ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಅಪಿ ನ ವಿಪರ್ಯೇತಿ. ಲೌಕಿಕೀ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದ ಇಂಟೆನ್ಸಿಕ್ ನೇಚರ್ ವಿದಿನ್ ದ ರೆಲ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಗೋ ಚೇಂಜ್. ನಾವು ಪಾರಮಾರ್ಥಿಕಿ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ, ಲೌಕಿಕಿ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಅ ಚೇಂಜ್ ಪರ್ಟೈನಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ವಿದಿನ್ ದ ರೆಲ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಈಸ್ ಲೌಕಿಕಿ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ. ಪಾರಮಾರ್ಥಿಕಿ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್? ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್. ಸೊ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ವಿದಿನ್ ದಿ ರಿಲೇಟಿವ್ಲಿ ರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಚೇಂಜ್. ಗಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ನೌ? ಲೌಕಿಕಿ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಅಪಿ ನ ವಿಪರ್ಯೇತಿ. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಸೆಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ನಂಬರ್ ಒನ್. ಆದಿಶಂಕರ ಭಗವತ್ಪಾದ ಸೆಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್. I told you already, please be careful. The word prakriti in this context does not mean matter. It means swarupam. Prakriti ityasya shabdasya artha swarupam. Laukiki prakriti means laukikaha swarupam. ಲೌಕಿಕಂ ಸ್ವರೂಪಂ. ಇಂಟ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಕ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ವಿದಿನ್ ದ ರೆಲ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟಿವ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಗೋ ಚೇಂಜ್. ಕಾ ಅಸೌ ಇತಿ ಆಹ. What is that laukiki prakriti? What is that intrinsic nature pertaining to anything within the realm of the material world? Okay, he's going to explain. This is a thorough study, you know, thorough study. Nowhere should be any doubt left behind, left. Okay. Samsiddhiki swabhaviki. ಸಾಂಸಿದ್ಧಿಕಿ ಸ್ವಾಭಾವಿಕಿ ಸಹಜ ಸಹಜ ಅಕೃತಾಚಯ ಕೃತಾಚಯ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಸೇತಿ ವಿಜ್ಞೇಯ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಸೇತಿ ವಿಜ್ಞೇಯ ಸ್ವಭಾವನ್ನ ಜಹಾತಿಯ ಸ್ವಭಾವನ್ನ ಜಹಾತಿಯ ಸಾಂಸಿದ್ಧಿಕಿ ಸ್ವಾಭಾವಿಕಿ ಸಾಂಸಿದ್ಧಿಕಿ ಸ್ವಾಭಾವಿಕಿ ಸಹಜ ಅಕೃತಾಚಯ ಅಕೃತಾಚಯ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಸೇತಿ ವಿಜ್ಞೇಯ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಸೇತಿ ವಿಜ್ಞೇಯ ಸ್ವಭಾವನ್ನ ಜಹಾತಿಯ ಸ್ವಭಾವನ್ನ ಜಹಾತಿಯ. ಟು ಮೇಕ್ ಅಸ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದ ಇಂಟ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಕ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಈವನ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಚೇಂಜ್, ಹಿ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ದಿ ಡೆಫಿನೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ವರೂಪಂ. ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಡೆಫಿನೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ವರೂಪಂ. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಇಂಟ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಕ್ ಎಸೆನ್ಷಿಯಲ್ ನೇಚರ್? ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸ್ವರೂಪಂ? ಸಾಂಸಿದ್ಧಿಕಿ ಸಾಂಸಿದ್ಧಿಕಿ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ సాంసిద్ధికీ ప్రకృతి. సంసిద్ధం స్వరూపం, సాంసిద్ధికి మీన్స్ వాట్ సంసిద్ధం స్వరూపం మీన్స్ ఎవర్ అకాంప్లిష్డ్, ఎవర్ అకాంప్లిష్డ్ ఈజ్ వాట్ సాంసిద్ధికి ప్రకృతి. ఇట్స్ ఎవర్ దెర్, ఎవర్ అకాంప్లిష్డ్ ఈజ్ సాంసిద్ధికి. స్వాభావికి, స్వాభావికి సెకండ్ వన్. స్వాభావికి మీన్స్ ఇన్హెరెంట్. సి స్వభావం స్వరూపం, స్వాభావికి మీన్స్ ఇన్హెరెంట్. విల్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ దట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. ఇన్హెరెంట్ సహజ, బాండ్ అలాంగ్ విత్. సహజ మీన్స్ ఇన్నేట్, ఇన్ బాండ్, ఇన్నేట్ ఇన్ బాండ్. అకృత నాన్ ఆర్టిఫిషియల్ ఇజన్ ఇట్, అన్మేడ్. అకృత మీన్స్ అన్ ప్రొడ్యూస్డ్, అన్క్రియేటెడ్, అన్ప్రొడ్యూస్డ్, అన్క్రియేటెడ్, అన్మేడ్. సహజ, ఇన్నేట్, ఇన్ బాండ్. స్వాభావికి స్వాభావికి ఇన్హెరెంట్, సాంసిద్ధికి ఎవర్ అకాంప్లిష్డ్. యా సో ది ప్రకృతి ది నేచర్ విచ్ ఈస్ ఎవర్ అకాంప్లిష్డ్, విచ్ ఈస్ ఎవర్ ఇన్హెరెంట్, విచ్ ఈస్ ఇన్నేట్ ఇన్ బాండ్ అలాంగ్ విత్ ద వెరీ ఒరిజినేషన్ కమ్స్ ఇస్ ఇట్ అన్బాండ్ అండ్ విచ్ ఈస్ నాట్ newly made akrita, that should be understood as prakritihi. Sa prakritihi vigneya. We'll give the example, we'll see tomorrow's class. Okay, is something where he will understand is very well tomorrow. What is samsiddhiki? Ever accomplished means what? That which is ever accomplished, that which is inherent, that which is inborn, innate, that which is not made, produced, created newly, is intrinsic nature. Sa prakritihi iti vigneya. He says, swabhavam na jahati. It does not give up. Okay, that does not give up its nature. The swarupam does not undergo any change. That is the nature. He literally, it's a literal meaning I have said here. See, samsiddham means what? Already attained, accomplished. Samsiddham. Samsiddham, swabhavikam, sahajam. If you put another word, sahajam. Akritam. So because of prakriti is a feminine gender word, therefore it is said samsiddhiki prakriti, samsiddhiki swabhaviki sahaja akrita ya sa prakriti iti vigneya. That must be understood as the intrinsic nature, that which is ever accomplished, ever inherent, ever the inborn, innate, and non-produced, non-created, and which does not give up, does not undergo any change. Na jahati. What is it? We'll come back and see tomorrow. Okay? I just read the verse today. We'll read this. We'll see what is this. Here, already explained. Okay? Swarupam is that which has undergo any change. But he's going to explain, even Laukiki Prakriti does not undergo any change. What can we talk of the Paramarthiki Prakriti? Isn't it? We have to understand unchangelessness of the nature, even in the worldly objects. Then you can understand the changelessness of the nature of the absolute reality. It's all for, not for new learning. It's all for ascertaining what you understood.
And all he says, because something here seems to be wrong in the way he puts it.
No, nothing can be wrong, Swamiji. The phonology, what phonology says cannot be wrong. I'll tell you what it is, because we have not gone. Which part of it?
He says, that which comes into being through right attainment. So comes into being.
No. Which context?
Huh? Ever accomplished, succeeding, ever accomplished, he said, comes into being through right attainment. So it's like a CD through the sadhana.
That's correct, Swamiji. Accomplished means what? Attained only, no? Comes. Participle used means accomplished, isn't it? Suppose you don't have, once you attain it, it doesn't go back. That's the meaning. Correct, he's correct. I have not yet explained, Swamiji. Tomorrow I'll explain that. No, Swamiji, accomplished means, Swamiji, participle, isn't it? It was not there before. You have accomplished it.
So there is a change.
No. That's what I'm saying. It's a laukiki. We're talking about the laukiki. Once you attain, you never lose it. That's what laukiki. Anything accomplished once, it not get lost. That is ever accomplished. So what he says is correct. Padmavalliji, namaskar. See, Swamiji, the language, the presentation. Sometimes, no, he's very concise. Okay, and we make it very simple because it has to be very clear, isn't it? See, when they write, sometimes, I do see sometimes, you know, many Bhashyam translations sometimes be very, very concise. Because they want a very, very brief, accurately try to do, make it very brief. Swamiji, the Bhashyams, the words, to really see, you have to do the, every word have to be split and understood. One will become very clear. That is why English translation of any Sanskritam, literal translation, will not be expressive at all. That needs to, even English also needs to be unfolded. Because they give the literal correct translation. Because Swamiji, Siddham na Siddhyati accomplishes. Okay. Siddhyati happens also. So Siddham means what? Attained, accomplished. Isn't it? So one has to, we're going to see anyway tomorrow we'll see that. I only get the literal meanings. And we'll see that tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om